Morning, everybody. Matt Bubal here with you, 720 WGN. Jess, is this Snoop Dogg?
No, it is.
That was Snoop Dogg.
It's called Gin and Juice.
That's Gin and Juice. God, I haven't heard Gin and Juice in forever.
For the birthday boy.
How are you, Roger Badish?
Oh,
happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
Is today your birthday or was
yes.
yesterday your
yes,
birthday?
Yes, today is my birthday.
Today 24th. Is the day.
Yep.
Man.
June 24th. And as I posted earlier today, which I did not know until I read the book, Harry Potter's third task was on June 24th, where they had to go through the maze.
Harry Potter's third task.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to make a confession right now, Roger.
You don't know anything.
I have not read one word or seen 1 second of a film
really?
Of Harry Potter. My kids wouldn't get into it.
Oh,
Jack,
okay.
When Jack, who just, I mentioned, turned 16 this week.
Sure.
They were really, you know, his time frame is when those came out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his friends at school really got into them. And I kept trying. And Jack was a good about reading as a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, you know, trying to pull teeth because, you know, video game, whatever. And he just never wanted to read the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah,
so we never
it happens. I saw the movies mm-hmm. long before I got into the books. And
yeah.
I used to read voraciously. But I got out of it a long time ago. I don't know why. I used to love especially biographies. I used to read as a kid. And I got away from it. So I decided, because my kids loved, or my grandkids loved to read.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And they have the whole set there, which I think my daughter bought a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started to read them because I thought they would like them. And oh, my cake is upstairs. Oh, my God, it looks so good.
That cake is ridiculous.
Is that something?
Will you put a picture of that out on your Facebook page?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's on
the
Facebook page. I think Esmeralda was going to post her version on there, too. Yeah, and then the cupcakes are on there, too.
Are you going to cut into that cake? What's inside that cake? Do we know?
I think it's a chocolate cake.
Really?
I think. It's vanilla cake. Okay, it's vanilla cake. I'm going to thank you guys so much. Enjoy the cupcakes. Did you have a cupcake, Mr. Matt Bubal?
I took one from
okay.
the box before they went upstairs.
Which one did you got there? You
well,
got the bacon?
No, I didn't do the bacon, although that smelled delicious.
Yeah.
What I did was, because Michael Heidemann had this one, he said it's the best thing he's ever had in his life,
yep.
I think he said. It is looks like a vanilla cupcake with some frosting on top and what looks like a caramel drizzle
mm-hmm.
and I think crunched up Heath bar.
Yes. And wait till you bite into the middle of it.
Oh, is there like a surprise in the middle? And Jess, yeah. it looks like got a strawberry one that Michael left for her.
Yep, and there's stuff in the middle of that, too. Yeah.
Jess, what do you keep playing? What am I hearing there? Did you turn your mic on? You've got like sports going on.
I hear it, too.
It's Steve Stone talking about the White Sox.
Sounds like the White Sox game
yeah.
is on again.
Oh,
which it
oh,
actually...
it's not on Jess's pot. No,
no?
wait. Yeah, it is on Justice Pot. It's coming through your board there, Jess. I don't know what it is, but you've got Steve Stone giving us some White Sox
yeah, really.
Description on contracts. Speaking of contracts, Roger, I know you've been reporting this all day, but the Blackhawks went insane
what
yesterday.
What the heck happened? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I guess this... Well, first of all, let's go back to 2 days ago and Marian Hossa.
Okay, right, right. When he said he wasn't going to play this year.
A rare skin disorder.
Yeah. Because of the uniforms.
That he's been medicated on for years, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
What I read, and I didn't read a ton on this, but was that he's been treated for this for a long time, and now the medications are starting not to work anymore
mm-hmm.
because he's been using them for so long.
Yeah.
So he basically has an allergy to the equipment?
To what he's wearing, yeah, to the equipment.
That sucks. Can you
yeah.
imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you... worked your whole life to play the violin. You become
mm-hmm.
this master violinist, and this is what you do. This is your whole life. This is what you've worked for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And then your fingers have a sensitivity to touching the strings, and you just can't
right.
do it anymore.
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God he's 38, and he's you know had a long, full career.
Yeah, but he doesn't want that career to end.
I'm sure, yeah. He wants
no
to,
way.
Wants to keep
yeah,
going.
Over something like this? I could see a very debilitating physical... something that would happen, like early onset arthritis or
yeah.
or something really.
Well, he's a hockey player. He probably has that. He'll just play right through it.
Well, I mean, right. You spray it and you're fine. You know.
Spray it. Spray that arthritis away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a crazy story. And so it sounds like the NHL, I don't believe, has ruled on his contract situation, right?
Well, he didn't say he was retiring. They've been very clear about this.
Right.
And the Hawks have said, we're not sure when he's going to come back. So they still, he'll probably start out on the
long-term injured reserve. Which, from what I understand, salary cap-wise, means they would take no hit on his salary this year.
Ooh.
That's what I understand. I don't know this for sure. But if he did say he was retiring, there would still be a hit against the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beneficial for the Hawks for Marion to say, I'm still going to try to come back next year. Let's see what the doctors can do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That would be nice relief for the Hawks because they, of course, as we know, every year have these salary cap issues because they've had such a good team. Brandon Saad coming back in a trade for Artemi Panarin. And Nick Jalmerson being sent off to Arizona. I was very sad about that one.
Yeah.
Because he's been such a solid defender for the Hawks for so many years. And the blue line was a big problem last year. So we'll see about the youth movement that's coming in there and what it gets done. But
I don't think they're done. I think this is a big chess game they're playing.
Well, the rumors were that they're going to try to sign TJ Oshie now.
Yes.
And so that would be a big pickup for the Hawks. And maybe they've got some cap space to do it now. Generally, every year the Hawks have no room to do anything because they've got no cap space. But it will be very interesting to see how that goes out. And then the Bulls trade away Jimmy Butler this week.
Yeah. Well, the Bulls have just been a disaster.
The Bulls have been a bit of a disaster. You're right about that. So it looks like the Bulls have gone into full-on rebuilding mode. And but luckily, they still got Dwayne Wade and his $24 million contract for next year. Boy, he's gonna be lonely out there.
Yeah, I read rumors that he'll do one more year, and then the Bulls will put him on staff, and he'll do some other stuff. So it's like he's okay in his hometown.
Well, he's okay. I don't think he'll be on staff. That would be my guess, because I just can't believe after earning $24 million in a walkaway year, he's going to say, now I want to work with these young guys. I mean, when you've got as much money as Dwayne Wade has, I mean, maybe you have a passion for the game, you really want to hang around, but I think you go away at least for a few years before you get the itch to come back and work.
I don't know.
I'll wager a dollar on
it, sir. All right, I'll go for a dollar.
So what's coming up for the big birthday today?
After we're done here, I'm going to try to get some sleep at home, obviously, and after I walk Rufus, of course. Then my old golfing buddies, who I don't get to golf with anymore because they golf at like 10 in the morning on Saturdays. I'm going over to one of their houses at about 1 o'clock. We're going to have a little schmear, as we say.
Nice.
And then about 5 o'clock, the family is getting together. We're going to Via Veneto.
Ooh,
up on the north side. And Tony up there is waiting for us. And we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful dinner. And then I'll be back here.
Back to work tomorrow
later
night.
Tonight. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Get a little nap in before work, I hope.
I'll try to get in a little nap, yeah. Once we get done with dinner and everything, I should be able to get maybe an hour and a half in, something like that.
Speaking of naps, Raj, there are certain places that you really probably shouldn't be taking a nap. And somebody that you and I know very well and hold dear to our hearts took a nap at the wrong time today.
Yeah, I heard the story.
And it backfired on him. So let's hear all about that right after we take a quick break. Matt Bubala with you. 312-981-7200 is the number. This is 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio in the historic Tribune Tower on the Magnificent Miles. John and Esmeralda were mentioning earlier they are doing some cleaning in the Tribune Tower lobby. And Roger, the security guard outside has got to be just wobbling around because it is so strong.
Yeah, well, I went out in the hallway to come downstairs right after the midnight news.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I went out in the hallway on the 7th floor, I was floating. The smell had come up through the elevator shafts. It was at one moment wonderful, at the second moment nauseating. So I didn't know how to react.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. It's a little rough in the Tribune Tower tonight. But they got to pretty it up. New owners coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Everything must go. Including us.
Including us.
At some point. We haven't announced. Do we know where we're going yet, Raj?
Where we're going?
Yeah, have they figured that out?
I heard rumors that we were going right across the river.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure about all that, and I'm not sure when.
Okay. We've got time. We'll figure that out.
Yep.
We mentioned earlier you said you had taken a nap tonight, and I asked whether you're going to take a nap tomorrow night and stuff. And Jess, our feckless producer, has been away for a couple weeks. She's been on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
She was in California, and Jess just got back, and she was telling me all about her trip. And then, you know, we all try to be good boys and girls and take a little nap before we head down to work every night. And some nights that just doesn't work out for you, right? Because you got whatever going on, or you can't fall asleep, or whatever's going on in life doesn't work out. Jess, were you a good girl? And did you try to take a nap before you, when you were home tonight before you came down? Or did life get in the way and you couldn't pull that off tonight?
I did try to take a nap.
And it just didn't really work out, right?
No.
It's one of those nights, and that happens.
Right.
So you didn't take your nap. So you take the L down. When you come in, you take the L.
Metro, because I come from the suburbs.
Oh, you were on a Metro train.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, this is a worse story now. I just assumed you were on the L. How shame on me, I guess, for assuming this is where these things happen. But so you took the Metro down, and
right.
you fell asleep.
I did.
Which happens. It happens. Sometimes you get tired on the train. Luckily, you're going to the last stop, so they're going to knock you out, you know, get you out of there when you need to. So did you not wake up till you got to, were you getting into Union Station or
Ogilvy?
And did you not wake up till the train was stopped?
Right.
And did somebody have to come by and kind of nudge you, or did
no,
you just happen to
but wake up? I woke up pretty suddenly, and then I was the last one to get off the train. Decided to take the train in after my 7-hour flight delay back into O'Hare.
Oh, we'll get into that in a little bit. Okay, so you fall asleep on the train, you get there, you're the last person on the train. Was that a little freaky? Did you wake up and nobody was on the train?
It was a little weird.
That would freak me out a little bit. Okay, so you get off the train and you start walking. And when did you realize something was amiss?
After I got off the train and I was in the Ogilvy train station.
And then you decided to look in your purse, or it felt lighter, or what happened?
I looked into my purse to grab my phone, and then I took out my wallet to make sure I had my train ticket back home. And I noticed that some money was missing.
Your train ticket was still in there?
Yes.
And your phone was still in your wallet?
Correct.
Or in your purse. And your credit card, your license, everything else was still in there?
Correct.
But you were light cash?
Yes.
How much?
$40.
$40 in cash. Now, you're sure you had that $40 in cash, right?
Oh, I'm positive.
You're positive about that. So you fell asleep on the train, on the nice Metro train coming in from the suburbs, and somebody decided to take advantage of that fact, apparently took your wallet out, opened it, took out the cash, and put it back.
Right. And the weird thing was, I guess I must have just been so tired that I didn't even wake up. I was wearing the purse in front of me, too.
Oh, so they had to really gently kind of ease that out and not stir you. Well, they were probably, you know, you look so tired. And they said, let's not wake her. She looks really tired. Let's let her sleep. She's fine. She needs the rest. Let's just do this very quietly. Do you remember, like, the people around you? Were there some young punk kids or something like that? How do you think? Man.
I do not. It was very crowded, though.
It was crowded on the train?
Yeah, there
is
a lot.
Isn't that something? People just do anything. Gosh, it's so frustrating. But on the other hand, you only have $40 taken, and you don't have to go through like the whole day tomorrow canceling everything and getting a new license and all that and losing your phone.
Well, that's true. It would have been more of a hassle to try to cancel my credit cards and find a new license because they don't, you actually have to go to the place, the driver's facility now, so they don't just send it to you.
Yeah. What kind thieves you encountered that they decided, let's just lift her of her cash, let's not bother her life at all. That was very kind of them, very nice of them. So you went through that, and you mentioned that you had a 7-hour flight delay on your way home. You were flying back from California. Roger, this was Jesse's first trip where she ever flew on an airplane.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay?
Flying into California was good. I actually drove from California to Vegas, and then I flew out from Vegas back to O'Hare.
Okay.
The drive from L.A. to Las Vegas is a very cool drive.
It is very cool.
You enjoyed that part?
Yes. I was very surprised I did not get sick either.
Do you get car sick that easily?
No, but you're going through a lot of very windy mountains at like 100 miles an hour.
Well, that's...
I don't think that's the speed limit through the mountains, kiddo.
That's not what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah.
Wow.
That's how most people drive.
You're supposed to be following the speed limit as posted, but okay. So I know the flight went okay, but what did you think about being in the air for the first time? Because that's interesting to really do as a, you know, it's been a long time since I first flew on an airplane. I used to be pretty scared of it. Was it weird for you at all to be realize I'm 30,000 feet up in the air?
At first, I was terrified. I was clinging on to my boyfriend for dear life. So my hands were sweating, and I thought it was going to be a lot like a roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
It was nothing like a roller coaster.
Thank God. Could you imagine if every flight was like a roller coaster? We go up, 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 and then we go down, and then we go up. That would be terrifying for 3.5 hours.
I was looking around a lot. I think people probably thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
But
like, how are they all so calm? Okay, but so trip was good. You had fun. You were in California. You were in San Diego. You were in L.A. You went to Disneyland.
I did go to Disneyland. It was very cool.
What was the highlight of the trip?
Best
part?
I got to see the beach for the first time, so that was pretty exciting.
Boy, there were a lot of firsts on this trip for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
All new experiences.
Yeah, well, that's good. You didn't get engaged or anything crazy like that over this trip, right?
I did not, although some hotel workers did try to convince us to get married so we could get some free tickets to the shows in Vegas.
You know what? From my experience, I just want to tell you, because I could be wrong on this, but I think Roger will back me up on this. Don't ever get married just for free theater tickets.
Yeah.
That's like a golden rule, as far as I know.
I think it might have been a concert ticket because they do have Britney Spears coming in soon.
Well, that could be different. That could be different. I mean, if it was Britney Spears, maybe. Maybe. Not coming in soon. She's there. She like does a residency. Because you mentioned Kristen Decker earlier. She just was there to see Britney Spears.
Oh.
And saw her. Raj, I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, but our friend Kristen Decker also got her car smashed.
Yeah, we were talking about that right before the show, in fact.
Isn't that crazy?
Jess and I. Yeah. And it wasn't in a bad part of town or anything, you know. She was at a big show this weekend with her new company.
Mm-hmm.
And bam. That's a shame. And small world, at the show she was at, the visual displays on the stage and all the visual parts of the presentation put together by a firm that employs one of my old friends who I worked with at Downers Grove North High School, who now works for this company. He travels the world planning and putting up these huge displays and programs, lighting, sound, visual, fantastic. So they bumped into each other, I found out, and talked all about me. No wonder my ears were burning.
Isn't that interesting? You know what? Let's do that real quick after the news. I bet there are some good stories out there, because I've got one, too, actually, from today.
Small world kind of thing.
What a small world it is.
Yeah.
Where you are somewhere you don't expect, and suddenly somebody, you know somebody, something, you're like, wait, what? You really? 312-981-7200. We're going to check the news next, then we'll get to that. Give us a call. Tell us about the places you've been where suddenly, you know, you're in Ireland, and suddenly you meet somebody who grew up on your mom's block and knew your dad all your life. You know, somebody that lives somewhere completely different. The small world scenarios you have, I think there's some interesting stories out there. 312-981-7200. News is next on 720 WGN.
And before we get into the sports, I wanted to update you on a story being reported by the Chicago Fire Department. They have rescued a person who jumped into the water near Wabash. They are performing CPR on that person. They're saying that the patient jumped in to swim. The Lake Michigan water temperature is extremely cold right now, and it's not a good idea to do that.
But it's a gorgeous night, Rod.
It's a beautiful night for a walk.
You might just be overtaken and say, you know what, let's just go for a swim. Did he jump off the bridge? Or he just
not
walked
sure.
down
just,
and
he just walked off
just dip his toes
at
right
the edge.
In.
He dipped a lot more in his toes. He dipped his whole body.
And they had to come rescue him?
They had to come rescue him, pulled him up, and according to them, it says, now recovered EMS performing CPR. Apparently, they talked to the person was talking, apparently, or someone with them was talking, and they report that they had jumped in to swim.
Just for a swim?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a big, nice body of water there.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, let's just go. Did they?
It's not very crowded.
If they were jumping in to swim,
right.
Did they take their clothes off?
Don't know.
Because it seems like it's a bad idea to swim with all your clothes on. Like that would encumber you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take a wild stab here and say that if a person walking along Lakeshore Drive or walking along Lake Michigan at...
Oh, wait, they went... I'm sorry, I thought this was in the river. They went into Lake Michigan?
Lake Michigan. Yeah.
Oh, well, then naturally, of course, why wouldn't you go for a swim? It's the lake. It's what we do.
It doesn't matter if it's the lake or the river. It's still cold.
Well, the river, you're not allowed to go swim in, I believe. Right. Well, people go swim in the lake all the time.
No, the rivers.
Yeah, but you said the lake. Which is he in? You're confusing me.
I'm confused, too. No, it jumped off at Wabash. Where would that be?
Wabash would be on the river.
On the river.
So he's in the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that's
for a swim.
That's a no-no.
Well, that's the river walk over there.
You're still not allowed to swim in it. It's the river walk, not the river swim.
Yeah, but there's no fence up there saying, don't jump in.
Are you sure there's no signs that say... Don't be stupid. Stay on the left.
Don't be stupid.
I think that's what they went with. Yeah. Don't be stupid. Don't jump into this.
Yeah.
Now, if it was in the lake, I could see that while still not smart.
Right.
I'm at the beach. I'm at the lake. Here we go. You know, that makes a little more sense because people do that. But
yeah,
the river, you're still not supposed to.
2:30 in the morning and it's.
This is when some people are up, Raj. Look, you and I are here.
Yeah, but we're working. We're not jumping into the water.
Not yet.
I did have a drink earlier.
You did?
Yeah.
You're really going
wild. I had one of those
little
fruity things.
What was the little fruity thing? Was that some John Esmeralda had going on here tonight?
Yeah, they brought in some drinks.
I heard Patty called in.
Yeah.
That was very nice of her.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She is.
All right, I better do the sports, do you think?
Oh, are we still in the news? I'm so sorry. Yeah, let's do the sports. It was a busy day yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
So, Raj, Friday, June 23rd. Mm-hmm. Is National Take Your Dog to Work Day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And you didn't know that. You
well,
could have brought Rufus.
Working.
Well, I guess that's true.
I was busy, but I wasn't working.
You were. So what we did yesterday at Black Dog, you know, we work with Steve Dale. We syndicate Steve's national shows, and we do a lot of stuff. So we decided we're going to do a big Facebook Live for Take Your Dog to Work Day. And if you're not a friend of Steve Dale's on Facebook, find Steve and follow him.
Yep.
And so we did a live broadcast from a place called The Nerdery. Here in Chicago. Yes, it's called The Nerdery. Okay. And they embrace their nerdiness. They call themselves nerds. And
find this place.
They do web design support, all sorts of stuff. And it's one of those young, hip places to work where it's open space and we have themes and we have video games. Mm-hmm. And like they have beer on tap.
Ooh.
Now,
At
the workplace.
Sweet.
I didn't get all the rules on that. I don't know if it's like, whenever you want, or if it's like after hours, or if it's like, sure, as long as your work is done. I'm not sure exactly how they play that out. I'm glad I'm not a millennial.
Because
the way I was when I was younger, if I was in the workplace today, I probably wouldn't survive. Because I'd go into these hip young workplaces where like, it's, you know, we want you to be happy and it's open. You work when you want. You do this, you do that. And there's beer if you want it. And I just sit there drinking beer all day. Be like, well, but you said there's beer and you can drink it, right?
Yeah, there's no lock on it.
Well, then why would I be working? Because you brought beer here and it's there. And I could take it any time you said. That's right. That's what we said. Well, then this is really your fault. And I blame you.
Wow.
People. And I just end up getting fired, I would think. But really cool people, really great place. And so we went and did a celebration of Take Your Dog to Work Day because The Nerdery has won awards before for being an incredibly pet-friendly workplace. So we went down and they had a bunch of people there with their dogs. And we had somebody from an institute called HABRI. It's the Human Animal Bond Research Institute. And they do a lot of work on researching and finding out more about the human animal bond. And so a gentleman came down to talk about how pets in the workplace calms you down, makes life better. You know, we spend so much of our lives in the workplace, yada, yada, yada. And Purina, who's a company we work with, they have a big Pets at Work program. So we're supporting that, all this stuff. So a person that works for us, does copywriting, things like that, and helps us with other things. She found the guest come in and talk about the human animal bond.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't somebody I knew. And so he's there and we're all talking. He's a local guy in Chicago. And afterwards, he's talking about he's got to take the train back out to the suburbs. And Steve Dale's talking to him, finds out where he lives, and he's like, oh, way out west. And he's like, oh, well, Matt lives way out there. And he says to me, oh, where do you live? And I said, West Dundee. And he said, yeah, I live in West Dundee. Where do you live? And I said, no, I live in West Dundee. He lives like three blocks from me.
Oh, shit.
Never seen him before, never bumped into him, never anything. How crazy is that?
Small world.
It is a small world.
Yeah, there's a lot of small world stuff. Like people, I got involved in the Autism Society.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because of my cousin, who is the CEO, executive director of the Autism Society. In fact, he was on Patty's show a couple of weeks ago. And unbeknownst to me at the time, I was asked to help out a video channel. They post on YouTube, but they also had their own Roku channel.
Sure.
For autism newscast. And so I did newscast for them. And unbeknownst to me, they were very good friends with my cousin even before he took over as the head of the Autism Society.
Huh.
And they actually lived in Vegas. The people who ran the video channel lived in Vegas when I was there. And had worked in Chicago radio back when I was in Chicago radio back in 79. So there was this weird kind of connection that we had never met each other until I started. In fact, we still haven't met each other in person. We've talked to each other on the phone until I started doing these newscasts for the Autism Channel. This was about 3 years ago, right? Oh, 4 years ago now. Before I got sick with the cancer, and they aren't doing it anymore because it was a self-funded thing. So a lot has been they're taking independent productions now for those on the spectrum to enjoy, and so we're not doing the news anymore. But that small world connection is there again.
Yeah, we've got a call about that, 312-981-7200. Jimmy's on the phone. Hey, Jimmy, good morning. You're on 720 WGN.
Hello, how are you, Matt?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you very much for asking. This is, when I heard the topic, I said, oh boy, this is bizarre, because when I was, I'm in my early 50s now, but when I was in my mid-20s,
mm-hmm.
Friends of mine, we're all from the South Side of Chicago, and a bunch of our fathers were policemen, and as it turns out, some of these policemen retired to a town called Mountain Home, Arkansas.
Okay.
I'd never been there. My friend's father and mother had moved down there to retire, and we decided to go down there on a fishing trip. In other words, some guys in their 20s, we all took a week vacation, let's go down there and go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my friends had been there, but they were just there to help them move, so they were there for like a day or so and got out of there. Now, but they didn't really see the town proper or anything like that. When we went down there, four of us went down there, I'll make a really long story short. We met his parents, and they said, oh, let's go to, there's a tavern in town here.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we take you guys fellas out for a beer? I'm sure you guys want a beer after, you know, such a long drive. Sure, why not? We go to this tavern. Walk in, there's a bunch of locals. It's kind of, honestly, kind of hillbilly-ish bar, you know, being from Chicago, we that's how we took it anyway. And, you know, we're the kind of place where everybody knows everybody's business, the whole nine yards. After we were in there for about 15 minutes, they said, well, hey, it's your turn to go buy a beer. It's your turn for a round. Okay, why not? You know, what the heck? So I walk over to the bar, and I walk up to the bartender, and this big fella just looks right at me, and he goes, what do you need, Collins? How many do you want? And I said, he goes, how many beers do you want, Collins? I look at him, I go, how would you possibly know my last name? He goes, well, you are a Collins, right? I said, yes. I go, but just out of curiosity, how could you possibly know my name? I've never been to Arkansas, never been to this town, and I certainly don't know you, you know? He goes, well, I'll tell you how. He goes, I'm from 55th Street. He goes, you must be one of the younger ones. I'm the youngest. I said, the youngest, actually. He goes, well, I was a policeman a long time ago in Chicago. He goes, you look just like your older brothers and your father. So I took one look at you and figured it's got to be one of the Collinses.
Holy cow.
It blew my mind. Like, literally just, even to this day, I'm thinking, wow, I know, you know, sometimes families do resemble each other, and we certainly do in my family, but that's just really, really weird. Like, it was, it's one of those things where, like, it kind of gives you, like, nowadays I think I was being punked or I was on, you know,
yeah,
it was rehearsed or on some script or something, Matt, but I don't know. It's always stuck with me that guy either has one hell of a memory or we are very handsome men, in my opinion.
I think he's got a great memory, is my guess, Jimmy.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's pretty crazy. I walk into a bar in Arkansas, and the bartender knows my name. Never been there before. Very cool.
Literally. It's just, whoa.
Very cool. Thanks for checking in, Jimmy. We appreciate you. Have a great morning.
Yeah, have a great show.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Mark is on 720 WGN. Mark, this is going back to Jesse's story about falling asleep on the train, I guess, huh?
Yes, it is, and the reason I thought it might be worth calling in is that there's an aspect of Metra protocols that people should be aware of. What happened was that I was browsing a website or revising an email, something or other, on my smartphone, and I thought that maybe my eyes were just getting tired, and I thought, I'll just rest a few minutes. And, of course, I fell asleep, slumped over the seat in front of me because nobody was sitting in it. And I made the mistake of leaving my phone and my magnifier. I use a magnifier because I'm partially sighted. I left it on the portion of the seat that was next to the aisle. I was next to the window. And so once asleep, you know, I could be stolen from without even knowing it. And sure enough, when I woke up, I found that my phone was gone.
Yeah.
The criminal was nice enough to leave my magnifier behind.
I don't need that.
You know, like you said with Jesse. And I even talked with one of the conductors, and he said that he thought he saw a guy who might be swiping phones, but he said that unless there is whatever is legally defined as due cause or reasonable evidence, or I don't know what the terminology would be, they can't inspect anybody's backpack or pockets unless they have sufficient reason. And that puts us passengers at a disadvantage right there. Now, I've since formed a rule that no matter how much I think I can stay awake, if I'm even going to rest my eyes for a few minutes, the phone and the magnifier and everything else that I have out are going in my pockets.
Yeah.
That has to be a rule without exception, because it's just not worth the loss.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you certainly can't leave stuff like that laying out. That's the tough one. But you got to make sure to put it in your pocket. You really should, you know what, Mark, your rule should be, I just put it down the front of my pants. They want it that bad, come and get it. I'll wake up during that one.
And just to let people know, 9 times out of 10, the Metra staff probably can't do a thing about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're not legally allowed to.
And I wonder, it's been a long time since I've been on a Metra train, but do they have cameras, do you notice, in each car?
I don't know how one would notice that, because they would probably be carefully concealed. I know that the Pace buses do out here in the suburbs, because that's one of the reasons that drivers are so reluctant to make allowances for passengers who forgot their pass, whatever pass it is, because
they're going to get
They don't want to get fired. The videos are constantly being taken, and they can always go back to them and document things.
I would think, I know you said that you think if on Metro, if they do have cameras, they're hiding them. I would think they'd leave them wide out in the open, because you'd rather everybody know, hey, there's a camera on here. So the guy swiping phones or doing stuff like that would maybe think twice, because worried they'd get caught.
Yeah. There's starting to be Wi-Fi, but I don't know that there are cameras, but that's a good idea. Yeah. I suspect it would make the prices of our tickets go up.
Probably. And you know what? Don't even get the cameras. Just put up the little bulbs, the little black, you know, glass things on the ceilings. Make everybody think there's cameras. And then when something happens, they go, oh, they've got it on tape. Wow, the camera, it was broken. That one didn't get, you know, we'll just lie about it each time.
Yeah.
Suddenly it doesn't happen. Mark, thanks for checking in this morning. Have a great one, okay?
You too. Have a good weekend. Right.
Thank you, sir. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That stinks, getting robbed like that. That just stinks. That's the worst thing to happen. Worst thing to happen. Okay. 312-981-7200. Back with more next, 720 WGN. It- Crazy Train. Very nice. Very nice, Jess. Very good work. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. 2 hours left in the big program. So, yeah, it was Take Your Dog to Work Day. We were out there meeting dogs and at a cool workplace where they serve beer, and which, you know, type of thing that would have gotten me fired back in the day, Raj.
Yeah, well, again.
Exactly. Exactly. Coming up later in the show, God, the Wi-Fi is not working down here. We're really struggling with technical.
You're kidding.
The technical is not going
well. It was working before.
I got a monitor out. Jesse and I can't get online. We can't print anything because the wireless isn't working.
Uh-oh.
Yes. We're suffering for our art tonight, Roger. That's what we're doing.
I'm so sorry. You should have another cupcake. I bring down. Maple.
Those things are heavy.
Bacon.
They're good. They are heavy.
Oh, but they're so good.
Yeah, they are so good. You have to limit yourself, Roger.
I've totally gone off my diet.
Don't eat them all at once.
I've had to. I haven't
you
even touched
stop.
The
if
cake
If you've had to,
yet.
You got to stop. I think know. The cake you just bring home to the party tonight.
Well, I am. It's okay. Heavy, though. It's large and heavy.
It's a big old golf bag.
With clubs and golf balls and a glove and grass and good Lord.
The grass is medicinal.
You know what's frightening, though?
No.
The golf bag looks in better shape than my actual golf bag
well,
does.
Well, that's not surprising because your actual golf bag's getting some use.
A lot of use.
Well, that's good. That's good. You've been out golfing. You getting to your regular?
Well, I'm not as much as I used. I used to golf every day during the season, like from the coldest day to the darkest day, I would golf. And but this year, I've only been able to get out during league on Wednesday afternoons we go. And this past Wednesday, I had the best round that I've had in a little over 2 years.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. So
that's really nice.
I still got a lot of room for improvement, but...
well, don't we all?
I did pretty darn good.
Well, that's good. Yeah. We just had our longest day of the year this week. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the 21st.
It's getting darker now every day.
Don't remind me because you know what that leads to.
Winter?
Shush.
Oh. But you know what's so funny is it's so interesting this time of year that when we do this shift all year round, you know, this time of year, I'm trying to take a nap at 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
It's bright as can be outside. It's crazy. And there's kids in the neighborhood. There's noise.
Right.
And it wasn't hot enough for us to turn the air on.
So
Colleen
had the windows
says,
open?
Just crack the window open. Oh, I'm like, yeah, that'll help me fall asleep.
God.
And when I get home at 6 a.m, I'm trying to lay down. It's going to be bright as heck out too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing I don't mind about that other time of year is that it's easier to take the nap at night and easier to get back to sleep right away in the morning.
Yeah.
Now, tomorrow is the closing ceremonies already for Little League.
Already?
Regular season
My
is over.
My God, you just started.
It seems that way, but it was back on April 9th or 10th or something like that. So here we are. Championship games tomorrow.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we got eliminated quickly.
Oh, no.
Our team lost both of our games. And,
no, I'm sorry.
Ah, it's okay.
Last year, you did a lot better, didn't you?
No, not with our regular season team. Now, All-Stars is coming up next.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we've got that ahead of us. So hopefully we'll do well there. We did well last year, made it to the state tournament.
Okay.
And hopefully we can do that again. Good. And maybe do even a little bit better. But we shall see. We shall see.
All
There's
right.
nothing guaranteed in life, Raj.
That's so true.
We had practice earlier this week, and I'll put all the kids in the field, and some kids will run. I'll hit the ball different places, and they'll run. Let's see how the kids make the plays.
Right.
And I was trying to line one down the right field line and have a kid run for second, see how the right fielder made the throw.
Okay.
And I didn't hit it just right. The line drive was a little low, and Tommy was playing first base.
He
happened to get a piece of his glove on it before it bashed him in the forehead.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Ouch.
He went down like a sack.
Oh.
And he was fine.
God.
But he had to put ice on it for the rest of practice, and he had what looked like a huge piece of pizza sausage underneath his forehead for a day or two. And in fact, the next morning, you could see the seams from the baseball.
Oh, no.
On his forehead, along with this massive lump. And the lump was so right between the eyes that the way it spread and started blocking up his eyes, he looked like some sort of character from a Star Trek show. Like, you know, where they've got some thing on their head and their eyes are separated out.
Yeah.
And so that was about 3 days ago. So now he's getting that nice drainage that's coming, which means that he's going to have two big black eyes by the end of the weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, but I love the baseball days.
I do, too. But the funny thing is, so I'm saying, as I'm hitting the balls later, I said, well, thank God it was my kid. And one of the boys goes, well, that's not nice. And he's thinking, he feels bad for Tommy. I'm like, well, right. Thank God. Well, would you rather it be you? And he's like, well, no, I guess not. Because you don't want to deal with the parents after you do right. that to one of their kids.
Right.
All right. Quick break and then news. And then we got lots more to chat about here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Matt Pavala with you on 720 WGN. All right, Raj. So let me try to figure out where we're at with what's going on in the world.
Whoa, that takes more than the next hour.
That was a broad brush. That was a broad brush right there.
Okay.
We'll narrow that down just a little bit. So while all this other stuff is going on in D.C., the Republicans are again crafting a new health care bill to repeal Obamacare and enact something new, correct?
Yeah.
They did this once before.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled it because it didn't have the votes. They didn't end up going to a vote because they knew it wasn't going to pass.
Right.
And then it seemed like they were going to move on. I think at least some people said at the time, we're not coming back to this right now. We've got other things to do, blah, 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 blah. And President Trump complained about not one Democrat would vote for it, which was funny because he didn't need any Democrats to vote for it.
Right. They've got
just had to get his own guys in line and then it would have passed.
Right.
Even Republicans, a lot of them switched sides or just wouldn't vote for it. So they didn't end up doing it. Now, in the midst of everything else, they're trying again to pass a new health care bill. This one has been full of controversy because it has been so behind closed doors where they've written it. Right. I mean, there was really no good information out about it. And now the senators have it in hand, right?
Yeah.
And they're...
they're kind of looking at it.
Looking at it.
Yeah.
And then how soon are they supposed to try to vote on it? Early next week?
Yeah. He's trying to get a vote ASAP. So there's really not much time for input. Some of the senators wanted to bring it to their constituents. And there's really not much happening there. They just want to get the business done and then go home for the fourth holiday.
Senator Mitch McConnell, there was a protest outside of his office the other night.
Yeah, I'm very angry about that.
And they arrested or at least forcibly removed people.
They forcibly removed many disabled people, most who were in wheelchairs.
Yes, there were some very interesting photographs of people in wheelchairs handcuffed, their hands behind the back of their chair.
Mm-hmm. There were some even who were in wheelchairs and not able to really move on their own in the wheelchair. They were physically lifted up out of the wheelchair and carried away.
Why wouldn't they just push the wheelchair? Why would you pick them up out of it? Why don't you roll their chair away?
I don't know why they did any of that.
So... it's been controversial, and that's going on. So this is what the Washington Post wrote about it today. Because so Trump needs, you know, the Republicans to all jump in line to get this done, because the Democrats probably have seen very – now, when they hand it out, now that they're looking it over, I'm going to assume everybody in the Senate has it, everybody in the House has this, like everybody's looking at it now, or are they just handing it out?
Everybody in the Senate has it because it's the Senate bill.
It's the Senate bill, okay. So then,
the House bill is still sitting over there somewhere.
Draft a different bill.
Yeah. Which the president said was too mean.
The president said the House, I don't understand that.
The House bill was too mean.
It was too mean. What this was the House bill going to do that was so mean?
It was taking away Medicare from too many people. It was going to cost more. It was taking away health care from too many. Everything that you saw in the news reports that it was going to do. Now he's saying that it was too mean. Now, but this is from a group where after they passed it, he celebrated at the White House.
Sure.
Well, in front of the news media.
Because he had passed his legislation.
Right.
Of course he did. You know, it was their bill. They passed it. They were
but now it's too mean.
Now, hold on.
I'm not being judgmental here. I'm being factual. This is what
he said
saying.
It's too mean.
Yeah.
Okay. But the bill that's going through
the Senate
also does a lot of those things, right? Yes. It repeals a lot of Medicaid, but rolls mm-hmm. back a lot of stuff, different things like that. Mm-hmm. So some senators have already come out saying they're against it, including Senator Dean Heller from mm-hmm. Nevada.
Right.
Announced
Who's
he could not,
for re-election.
This is from the Washington Post, announced that he could not vote for the legislation without revisions, singling out the measure's long-term spending cuts to Medicaid as the reason for his opposition. And I would think that in Nevada, in Florida, in Arizona, there's going to be senators who have trouble voting for this if there is a huge retired contingent and you're, you know, proposing huge cuts to Medicaid or Medicare, things like that. I would
Medicaid.
Imagine.
They're not doing anything with Medicare right now.
Nothing?
Just it's Medicaid. Medicaid. That's the big thing.
Okay. So I could see where there's going to be problems.
Mm-hmm. Not just for the elderly. It's mainly for disabled, for those who are on Medicaid now because of pre-existing conditions or illnesses, things that they can't afford regular insurance for. So they're on Medicaid now.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't know enough about this. What as when you're retired, what do you
usually that's Medicare.
About? That's on Medicare.
I just got on beginning of June.
So right now, no cuts to Medicare.
None that I've seen just any Medicaid. Information on. No.
Okay.
But again, that's been a self-funded program because you every paycheck you get, you pay into Medicare.
We all do. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Dean Heller coming out against it, they say caught Republicans in the Senate by surprise, including Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
So now they say it's prompted a Republican super PAC to plan a seven-figure advertising campaign in Nevada to pressure Heller to vote for the bill.
Well, he's up for re-election.
He is.
Yeah.
So he's going to face quite a battle here because mm-hmm. his party wants him to vote for it. He's worried about re-election
yep.
and what that'll do if he does vote for it.
But they've also said, the four or five Republicans who have come out against it have also said, you know, we're willing to negotiate. So I don't know how many of the others who have come out against it, Republicans, are up for re-election. I haven't checked into that yet. But it could be that they all are, and as many in Congress are next year. And they're trying to appear to do right by their constituents. I would imagine it's a very tricky issue, very tricky issue. And I wouldn't want to be a politician right now, a senator or a congressman right now in America.
Now, a texter is saying, don't forget that Pelosi said about Obamacare, pass it, we'll read it later.
All right. Well, and they spent how many months debating well, this
and
in
that's
Congress?
And that's the question, because I see a lot on social media yeah. about there were so many hours spent on Obamacare, so many amendments to it. There was all sorts of stuff.
And it was wide open to both parties. There was no discussion cutoff. It wasn't negotiated in private. It was put together and discussed by both houses, both parties, over a lengthy period of time, and they were able to take amendments, and those that had fashioned the Obamacare, the ACA, took in tons of amendments. That's not being done now.
Right.
That's not being done. And whatever they have put together is what is going to be voted on, and that's if it's able to be passed by the House. I don't know if they're going to try to combine it with the House bill. I'm not sure what the negotiations between the two divisions will be, but eventually then has to go to the president.
Well, and he'll sign it,
right.
Of course, if they can get it to him.
Right. So it's not a completely done deal yet. It still may take some time, but it's something that he wants. He campaigned on it. He wants it, as any president would want, you know, a major piece of legislation. This is something that President Obama wanted. He thought that there should be national health care, and he campaigned on it. And this is one of the things he tried to get done as early as possible. It just took a little longer than he expected.
Yeah. So in the Senate, they can only lose two votes. They got 52.
Yeah.
So if it's 50-50 tie, then Pence breaks it and
right.
it gets passed.
Right.
So can only lose two. Right now, it looks like it's at five. As you
mm-hmm.
said, they said they're willing to negotiate whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been the interesting part so far, it seems like, in this administration, that President Trump hasn't played those games that well yet, that, you know, he wants what he wants, because my feeling is he's used to being a CEO, running his own organization, telling people this is how it is. And then he moves forward. And now that's, I think I would say, been the great frustration for him over this first half year of his presidency, is that he cannot just get things done in the manner in which he likes to get them done, where he decides this is the route we're going to go, and now we move forward. All these checks and balances are kind of screwing him up,
right,
and giving him a hard time, and he's got to learn to play that game a little better and get people to come along to his side and maybe not try to push them into his side.
Well, and as some of his spokespeople said several weeks ago, you know, he's new to this.
How do you know that they said that? Was that on camera? Was that recorded?
That was reported.
Okay. Well, I'd make that joke because that was the other thing that came out this week. One of the big things was that these press conferences, they might not have their daily briefings anymore. They're going to have more off-camera, more you-cannot-record press conferences.
Right.
Which just seems like an odd thing. And now I know that they feel like they're getting beaten up. They're getting mistreated. There's all this fake news that they got to answer all day long. So why should we even bother doing it? So I guess that's, you know, that's their, I guess their right to do it how they want. I don't think we have any laws about having press briefings that force
them into it. If you remember, press briefing is not a job description for the President of the United States or any government official. Press briefings are things, I believe, oh gosh, I want to say that Kennedy was really the first one to make it a big deal, the public press briefings. Before him, presidents really didn't do that kind of thing, or at least a presidential spokesperson didn't do that kind of thing. There were presidential schedules, like here's what we're doing today. You go ahead and cover it. Do what you want. You're the media. You have a constitutional right to do what you think is best to cover a story. And but I think Kennedy pretty much was the first one to really do a lot of them, a lot of press briefings. If he didn't, then his spokespeople did. But again, there's no law that says he has to.
Well, I don't expect President Trump to do it all the time.
But well, no, not Trump. I mean, even his spokespeople. And he's got a handful of spokespeople that go on either before the media in general or on specific media outlets that speak for the president. So there's, it's not like he's completely cut off from the media. He is making his people available to talk their story. So, you know, it's out there. It's not like we're not going to get any news out of the White House if Sean Spicer doesn't allow cameras and microphones.
Right.
You know, even though I think what CNN did was pretty cool.
What did CNN do?
Oh, they sent a court artist. And actually, like you would during a court trial, they actually drew pictures. They drew portraits of what was happening in the press briefing.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's cool.
No sketches either! Stop your sketching!
Your pencil is making too much noise.
Would have been great is if, like, they should have just, you know, sent me to do it, because I would have done, you know, this great
stick figures.
Here's Spicy. And there were people next to him, and there was a wall and a nice painting there, and just doodle it.
And then I saw a monster come out of the corner.
Yeah, you just start making stuff up then.
Yeah, right.
Fake news! So it's going to be an interesting week yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's just one thing after another that's interesting.
And his rally. You forgot his rally.
His rally in Iowa.
Yeah,
right?
Big rally.
The headline... I you're right. I didn't watch the rally. I don't understand the rallies. I don't understand, and I know this, you know, a couple of texts are, oh, you're just bashing Trump. You're just bashing
no, we're
Trump.
Not. We're saying what he did.
But I just don't understand why you keep having these rallies.
That's another way he's getting his word out.
I understand, but he gets his word out, you know, however he wants. He could get his word out without going flying Air Force One to Iowa to have a big pep rally. You know what I mean? I mean, you can still get your word out. He is the master of getting his word out how he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He uses Twitter all day long or whenever he wants to really get his word out to millions of people. The rallies crack me up because it's almost like he enjoyed more the running for president, because he's still continually running for president. Keeps bringing up Obama, keeps bringing up Hillary, mm-hmm. like all the time, instead of just, you know, working on what he's working on. I don't understand so much time spent looking back instead of looking forward.
I think it's a, and I've had the same questions. I think it's a tactical effort to continually put the pressure on the Democrats and to keep them on their toes as we approach the midterms and, again, the general election, the presidential election in, 3.5 years. In other words, instead of just, it's like running his business. Mm-hmm. He's the one with the big ideas. Everybody else does the work. So he's got time, since everybody knows what his big ideas are and they're supposed to work on them. He's got time now to go around and promote his business. Well, his business is his presidency. He did this when he was CEO. He'd go around all the different places. He promoted it on a TV show. He'd have grand openings and all of this stuff. He was the figurehead.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. So he's doing the same thing he did as CEO. And I think it's a if you add in the picture of politics, which this is now, I think this is a strategic move on his/the Republicans' part to just keep hammering away at the Democrats. And so that they just cannot get a foot on the ground for the midterms or the presidential election. That's just my thought.
That's interesting. I mean, I guess that could be. That could be why they're doing those things. I don't know. I don't think any of them seem to be. I guess they're helping him with the base, so I guess that's important. It just seems that while he's got control of everybody, he should be working harder to pass the legislation he wants to pass. I mean, as we've seen throughout our recent history, generally presidents who come in with House and with Congress in their pocket, mm-hmm. they lose it after 2 years. Obama lost it.
Right.
Clinton lost it. I don't know about
one of the Bushes,
President Reagan or anybody like that. I don't know who had control of what, but I know a couple mm-hmm. times recently you come in carrying everything. You tend to blow that. You know, the country tends to swing back the other way.
Yeah.
So I don't know that, you know, that's going to happen in 2018, that enough for people are going to, you know, switch to have more even control. But this is his golden time to get legislation passed and to really enact his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess you keep hammering away at people. It makes sense. It's appealing to the base. You know, I've got people. It's so funny. The texters are just getting so mad at me. Never a kind word about President Trump. Obama could fly to Hawaii, New York, Hamptons. Never a negative word. Obama's White House didn't have all these press briefings. Yeah, they did. They had press briefings, I think, yeah. pretty much all the time. You just didn't pay attention or care about them or hear about them as much, because as much as maybe you didn't like President Obama, there wasn't this drama kind of around things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is right now. So we're very aware of everything going on within the White House because those press briefings are so combative, the way Sean Spicer kicked things off election, you know, the day that he got sworn in and things like
well,
that.
Well, here's another issue I think that's putting the spotlight on this presidency is that you have a president who is tweeting all the time, and often it is in conflict with what his official spokespeople are saying. So it's confusing not only to the general public, but to the media, which is just trying to get a straight answer on the questions they have about what the government is doing. And sometimes the media just can't get that from this administration.
Yeah.
We didn't have that issue with the past several administrations.
Yeah, they were all on board. Yeah, that's the tough road to navigate for Sean Spicer mm-hmm. and Kellyanne Conway and Sarah Huckabee Sanders, all of these people, is that, you know, in general with politics, you work out here's our story or here's our theme or here's what we're saying, here's how we're working it.
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump, you got to give him this. He is still not becoming a politician, and he ran on the anti-politician stance and the drain the swamp and all that stuff. And now he'll say whatever he thinks, whether that's what the lawyers or the operatives or the whoever recommends to him, mm-hmm. he'll just say, nah, I was going to fire him anyways. Yeah, they recommended, but I was firing him anyways.
Right.
You know, he wants to get that out there. He's going to get that out there. Even if they're all saying, let's say it was on the recommendation. This makes sense. Let's all stick to the script. Here's what we're doing. President Trump's not going to go by that necessarily.
Yeah, and I think
they just got to live with that.
Yeah, I think that he thinks the Republican Party didn't win the presidency. Donald Trump won the presidency. Do you see the difference there?
Absolutely.
And I think that, again, the anti-politician politician is in the White House now, and he's going to do things his way.
And
now,
that's part of the CEO part of him, too, I think.
Exactly.
That I really do believe, and this isn't a bash, that for anybody who ran a business for a majority of their life,
mm-hmm.
and really the way Donald Trump was in his civilian life,
mm-hmm.
A bit egotistical. I think even he'd admit that. He wants things his way. And when you run the company, listen, for all the great times he's had and the TV shows and the highs, he's also been the name on the bankruptcies and everything mm-hmm. else. So he's taking all the risks, right?
Right.
And so when it succeeds,
it's his name all his. On
and
everything.
When it fails, it's all his. So I'm sure he's very used to, you're going to do it my way, because in the end, it's Trump that's going to succeed or suffer because of this, not, these middle managers or whoever's making these recommendations. I got to make the final decision and I got to be happy with it.
Yeah.
So I think that, coming into politics, it's not set up as easily for you to run things the way that you want to run them. And so I think that's been really tough for him. I think it's been a little bit of, I think when Governor Rauner took over here in Illinois, he won the election. You feel like, okay, the people are behind me, so let's go get to work and do it this way. And then Madigan just says, we're not doing it your way.
Welcome to
Springfield.
So if you
won't play ball, it's not how it's going to work.
Right.
And here they are in this crazy standoff for 18 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah. Yeah. Politics make a strange bedfellow. I forgot who may have that quote. But it's not everyday life. This is a different animal. And I was in it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different levels, a lot of different points of views, a lot of things that work unto themselves that nobody really wants to know how or why. But here's my bottom line. It's our money that is paying for government, our tax dollars,
mm-hmm.
paying for the government of the people. Our politicians, we elect them to represent us. Nobody's the same in this country. Everybody wants something different. If our elected representative gets in, we expect them to do our bidding. We're paying the bills. We're paying their salary. We're paying for the repairs on our streets, our new street lights. We're paying for lower medical bills. We're paying for all this stuff. And we want them to vote to make things better for us. Government cannot work in a vacuum. And unfortunately, some politicians get into office and think they can work in a vacuum. They forget that they represent the people and they get paid by the people. I am not talking about Donald Trump. I am talking about politics in general. I worked for two Chicago mayors, the first female Chicago mayor and the first African-American Chicago mayor. And I worked in the government. I saw how it ran. And I've also covered government, both on a national level and a local level. And I'm a firm believer that that government should be for the people and by the people. Not for a few and by a few.
But, that's kind of how it works, though, Raj. President Obama was not espousing conservative views and not, governing for the conservative side. And I love President Obama.
Well, you're right.
President
he had a
Reagan
very progressive
doing,
approach
each,
to government.
Each of the last few presidents
mm-hmm.
were not saying, okay, this is going to be for everybody. They were espousing the views that got them elected by the people that elected them.
Understood.
And that's just how it works.
But Congress is then made up of, as we all know from fifth grade social studies, checks and balances. And that's why we have government like this, so that the people's word can be heard. You still have the president. You still have the person who gathered the most votes nationwide. But then you still have your constituents in a smaller grouping represented by people in Congress.
Yeah.
And so the president can take any slant they want. It's Congress that offers the checks and balances to that. And hopefully you get both sides working together to produce legislation that can help the America move forward in a positive manner.
Doesn't it seem so rare, though, in the last, I don't know how long, I guess the last 8 years, because the conservative side was very anti-Obama from the start. But mm-hmm. I don't know when the last time was we feel that we've had some truly bipartisan, maybe Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan's last time we truly had a bipartisan working arrangement in government, it seems like. You know, like, I think you're right. It's supposed to be by the people for the people, but it comes down to who was elected and why. And I feel like the only time that we ever get a real maybe representation of the people is in an instance where somebody needs to be reelected, and they've got to be very careful. We see Democrats get more conservative. We see Republicans get more progressive mm-hmm. when they see the winds shifting in their districts, and they need to keep their job.
Exactly.
And that's the only time I feel like they'll rethink their positions on things or not go along with the straight party line is if there's a threat of being thrown out of office, because above all, they want to stay in power.
And I think you're starting to see that right now with this Senate health care bill, because it is coming so close to the campaigns for the midterm elections next year.
Yeah.
And that's where you're starting to see these five Republicans have kind of broken away. And they're saying, look, we don't like a lot of the stuff here. This does not help our constituents. So now their voting public has seen them stand up for them. And they're all running for reelection. And so this is something that you may see evolve. And pretty soon backdoor deals or backroom deals will be made. And suddenly you'll see, oh, yeah, we got this for you now in this bill. And everything seems fine now. So let's go ahead and approve it right before the election.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting to see how quickly they can or cannot pull it off.
Yeah.
All right. Roger, you ready to do news?
I think I am.
3:34 in the morning. We're a couple minutes late. Let's get the headlines now with Mr. Batter. Follow with you, 720 WGN, 3:40 in the morning, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us a little later. Lisa called in at 312-981-7200. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm Wonderbar. What's going on?
Good to hear. You know, a lot of people, I don't think they understand some of the ramifications of what's being proposed by Congress these days. You know, Congress is proposing eliminating all sorts of things. People don't realize it.
Like,
you
what?
Know, if it's true that corporations pay no taxes in this country, that must mean that the individuals in this country are the ones paying all the taxes, right?
Well, then corporations pay taxes. It depends on how you look at taxes, whether or not they write a big check at the end of the year. Depends on the accounting and all sorts of things like that. I know that we've heard famously about companies not paying any corporate taxes, but companies are paying tax on everything that they sell and all sorts of other stuff like that. So whether or not they
pay sales taxes, but this is not what we're discussing. We're discussing purely income taxes, nothing else.
On their profits, right. Okay.
Right. So if it's true, you know, what a lot of companies do is they pay for health insurance, they give pensions, they spend all of their revenue. That's how they get away with not paying any income taxes.
Right.
It's because they spend all their earnings.
Right.
They give bonuses to executives. They give bonuses to their employees or commissions to their employees. They pay dividends on their stocks.
Right.
To people.
Yeah, but then taxes are
paid by the company.
Sure, but then taxes are paid through that. You know, there is then taxes are paid through that. If I get a bonus, I'm going to have to pay tax on that. So there is still money that comes to the government when companies do that.
Well, they, yeah, but that, but the bonus is paid for by the individual. It's not paid for by the company because it's income to the person who earns it.
It is, but don't forget, if you're a salaried employee, you pay. If I pay somebody at my company a bonus, I have to put in the tax as well, just like you do with a regular paycheck.
It. You deduct the tax out of their check, possibly, maybe, but that's really still a tax on the individual, not on the company. But the same equally applies to things like Social Security taxes, which companies are they don't have to, they're not required to, but they may, you know, take all state, local, and federal taxes, including payroll taxes, you know, out of your paycheck and remit them to the government. But mm-hmm. those are still taxes that are obligated by the individual. It's not a tax that's based on company. You see, those are imposed by the federal government or the state. You know, those are based on the taxation of the person, not the company.
Okay.
My point is that if they succeed in these, in from the articles I've read, what effectively they're going to do is, in terms of the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, most people will be required to pay for their own insurance consistent with what you currently pay in Social Security taxes to the government. Except instead of the tax going to the government at some future point for you to use, it will be you who's obligated to pay for the insurance up to 16% of what you make. So for every $1,000 that you make, you will pay $160 for insurance.
That's in the current bill?
Yes, that's what they just released today. That's what's been in the, that's in the current bill. Now, they're anticipating that younger people in the program will bring the cost of insurance down, but that's only if these people in the insurance pool are included as part of the same insurance pool. If they're not included as part of the same insurance pool, it won't make any difference. And a lot of the people retiring right now, you know, in their 50s, are actually public employees whose insurance is paid for by you, the taxpayer, because it's guaranteed for their life that you pay for their taxes or their pensions and their insurance. So know how bad their pension portfolio does, you as a taxpayer get to make up the difference by increased taxes or by eliminating or cutting programs and services. That's how that works.
You're depressing me, Lisa.
And that's every level of government. That's the local government, the county government, the state government, the federal government. That's all of those people, the tens of millions of them, that have those kinds of things that no one in the private sector has, or very few.
Okay.
And so what will happen is they'll eliminate Social Security, the Veterans Administration, Medicare, unemployment, workman's compensation. All of those programs will go away.
Oh, now, Lisa, I haven't read this bill. I don't know this bill, and I'll grant that you have, but I don't think that we're going to get to a point where all of those things are going to go away. You really believe that?
They say it right in the health care bill that they will be eliminating Medicaid. And if they eliminate Medicaid, they're going to have to eliminate Medicare because, you know, all the funding comes from the same source, through your taxes. And if the only deductions out of your check are mortgage insurance and charitable contributions, that means they're not going to be taking money out for Social Security. That's what that means. It's a deduction out of your paycheck. If they eliminate all the deductions and credits, that would include Social Security and Medicare. That's what that means.
Yeah, but they're not going to eliminate your Social Security tax payment. They're not going to eliminate all those things. I don't believe that that's all in this bill that they're trying to pass right now.
Oh, but it is. It's in the case. You see, they're not just working on health care reform. They're working on tax reform, which is a totally different subject, but the two are related. If they eliminate all deductions and credits from individual taxpayers, and you only get deductions for mortgage insurance, mortgage interest, and charitable deductions, they will not be deducting things like Social Security from your check. Those are the only two deductions you are entitled to. See, the deductions for Social Security come out of your paycheck.
I know, but your mortgage insurance, we're talking about two different things, Lisa. Mortgage insurance isn't deducted from your paycheck. That's, you can deduct that from your taxes at the end of the year. You can get a credit for that. So we're talking about two different things.
You're missing my point. If you fill out your tax return, maybe you do or maybe you don't. If you fill out your tax return every year on each level of your tax return, whatever lines there are, depending on your tax form, but if you fill out a basic 1040, every line there enables you to obtain certain credits or deductions against your income. Okay?
Right.
So you can take a mortgage interest deduction.
Right.
You can take an offset against your capital gains taxes for losses that you have.
Right.
All sorts of things.
Right.
You know, that's things you can do. What I'm telling you is if they limit deductions and credits on your individual tax return
mm-hmm.
to mortgage interest and charitable deductions,
right.
that will effectively eliminate Social Security taxes from your check.
They How does that effectively eliminate Social Security taxes from your check?
Because your Social Security is a deduction out of your check. You don't
right.
realize that.
Right. No, I do. You do realize that. Everybody realizes that. They get their paycheck and it says Social Security. It says FICA. It mm-hmm. says these things on it. So everybody realizes that. So
okay.
you're telling me two different things. You're telling me all you're going to be able to deduct off your taxes at the end of the year is based on is your home mortgage interest and
your charitable contributions.
That's right. That does not mean that they won't deduct Social Security from your paycheck still every 2 weeks.
No, that's exactly what it does mean.
How does it mean that, Lisa?
Okay, well, I guess I'm not really explaining myself very well.
Because we're talking about at the end of the year, the company takes out the Social Security, takes out the Medicare, takes out your taxes, your federal taxes. They take all that out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're telling me you're only going to be able to deduct at the end of the year your home equity or your interest on your mortgage and your charitable contributions, that to me that doesn't mean that they're not going to take Social Security out. That just means they're limiting all the million different deductions we can find ways to take right now.
Can I ask a question? I used to do my own taxes. And I don't remember saying we did the short form because we didn't have enough deductions to use the long form. I don't remember filling any line out that had anything to do with my Social Security. Not on the 1040. There's nothing on Social Security on the 1040. Because Social Security has nothing to do with my income tax. Social Security is a separate fund unto itself. It's funded by money withdrawn, depending on your profession. It's money withdrawn from your paycheck for your retirement, for your investment that the government is holding and investing for you. Now, if you're a public servant, you don't pay into Social Security. You pay into either a personal a retirement fund or a pension fund that has been set up by a state or local government. Now, you can also pay into a pension fund if you're with a private entity. Many of them offer a separate pension fund. My wife worked for a hospital for many, many years. She has a small pension with the hospital, but she also gets Social Security. I also get Social Security, even though I spent 20 years teaching and 5 years with government agencies, city government. But through most of that time, I was also working a second job and paying into Social Security. And I have met the minimum requirements to acquire Social Security if and when I choose it at that time. In no way, shape, or form do I remember having to put in my 1040 any of my Social Security. It was all based on my income, not including Social Security. It had to do with my income, my gross amount. Then they deduct. You can deduct, you know, married, single, children, etc. Then they have the standard deduction, which we always had to take because that's the way we submitted it. And then, boom, here's how much you either owe in taxes or get back in taxes. It had nothing to do with Social Security.
Yeah, I think it's a very confusing topic. Lisa, thank you for the call. I'm going to move on. But I don't believe that we're going to cut all. So we've got a doomsday scenario we're putting forward. And this is the problem, that we don't have all the facts. We don't know exactly what's going on. And so we're speculating here a little bit, I think.
According to the news reports, the breakout that I saw on several of the news outlets, and I'm, you know, this is a factual thing. This is information put out by the government. This is a document. So you go in the document, you research it, and here's what the document says. And the last figure I saw was that they were amongst other things that they wanted to cut funding for. Was Medicaid, one of them, and it was $800 billion. That was the latest figure. Now, there was another list, a continued list of, I think, about 10 other things that they wanted to cut funding for, all in lowering amounts of money.
Right.
So that's how this bill is, that they're trying to get this bill passed. Is it connected to the budget? Yes, because a lot of money they want to cut from this, they may want to put somewhere else. This money is interchangeable. Okay, but they're not going to touch Medicare. That's a separate deduction. They're not going to touch Social Security. That's a separate deduction. Now, the amount of people, since we're living longer, the amount of people on Social Security is increasing. The investments aren't necessarily that great, the return on investment. And so when you start getting these reports that, you know, Social Security is going to be gone in another 10, 15, 20 years, you know, there's some concern about that.
Yeah. But it's not that soon even. It's more like 30 years down the road at least. And it generally moves back a few years, moves up a few years.
Right.
We see that several different times. Right. Somebody also texted that government employees do not get free health insurance for life. Now, some might. Senators and Republicans, they get a pension.
Senators and congressmen,
yeah. I'm sorry. Do they get health insurance for
life? They can choose their own health insurance. One of the complaints by the several protest groups is they're saying, okay, Congress, you use the same insurance you're passing for us.
They exempt themselves.
They exempt themselves, and that's their right. They're in office, and our laws give them that right. They give not just Congress, but city councils, mayors, governors, state legislatures.
Right.
They're passing the laws, and they can do that for themselves if they choose. That's their right. If you don't like it, run for public office and fight to change that. Or
get yourself that free health insurance for life.
Or lobby your congresspeople and say, look, we don't like that you get a separate, you know, something different than what we're getting. And that's okay because, again, it comes down to the two words, public service.
Right.
Okay. I did my public service teaching. I get a pension. Why do I get a pension? I paid into that instead of Social Security. That's my retirement fund.
Right.
I met my legal obligations by paying into that. That is rightfully mine. So to be told that I can't have that, that's a violation in the state of Illinois. It's a violation of the state constitution.
Yeah.
So could I have put my money somewhere else? Well, at the time, I was required to put the money in.
Yeah.
I couldn't not put it in.
Right.
Okay. While I was working for City Hall, there was no pension to pay into at that time.
Mm.
We're talking the early 80s. I wasn't offered a pension plan, but if we wanted to put money into a private savings account, we could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even now in the state of Illinois, they are trying to change the methods by which teachers can save. So newer teachers now, those just coming into the system, now have the option to take money and put it into individual retirement accounts instead of the state pension. Well, this goes along with like the Social Security, how it works. When new employees don't pay into a pension system, the money for those people who have retired and are on the pension
starts drying up.
It starts dwindling, starts drying up, and pretty soon there's people caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Those people are halfway through or almost done with their service. And they'll be on pension soon, and then halfway through their lives in retirement, their savings runs out.
Yeah.
So that's where it's not a political thing. It's a planning thing. It has nothing to do with politics at that time.
Yeah.
It's a planning thing. So
yeah, it is.
It's very involved.
And unfortunately, I mean, listen, Colleen was a teacher for many years before we had the triplets, and I keep encouraging her to go back full time because I want her to keep earning into her pension that she put so many years into instead of Social Security.
I just talked to a doctor. I probably go to a break, but real quick. Talked to a doctor the other day, and his wife was taking care of the family. He's a doctor. He's making pretty good money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they've invested well. His wife's a lawyer. But she's been out of line for if that's even a word, 15 years,
right,
taking care of the family.
Right.
He just told her, you need to go back to work. We can't afford it.
Yeah. Hey, we got four kids coming up on college here in a couple
exactly.
of years. So there is, you know, there is going to be some question over how we do that. And the state's not going to be able to, I mean, of course, the state can't afford anything right now. But
right.
we will eventually see all those pensions phased out.
Yes.
Teachers, cops, everybody eventually is going to have to just, in their contracts, get a certain amount of money put into their 401ks, matching mm-hmm. funds, things like that. They're going to have to go the way the public has because there's just no way they're going to be able to afford. We're living too long.
Right.
If you put in your 30 or 40 years, whatever they make you do, you're retired at 65. If you're going to possibly live to 100, there's no way the state can afford
yeah,
to keep paying
no
that for 35 years, especially because some teachers, when Colleen was first teaching, and some teachers that were retiring, they were getting really good packages where, you know, they were getting the average of their last 5 years' salary. For some teachers who've been teaching for a very long time, especially at the older levels,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're getting $60,000 a year in a pension.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know what many of them also did.
It's a beautiful fantasy. Took an early buyout.
Well, they in their last 5 years, they then went back to school.
So they could
become a principal or some other thing. And so they would take another position for like the last couple of years and jack up
that salary.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, we got to take a break. We're running late. We got more to do after the news. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN.
If you play video...
Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN, 410 in the morning. Thanks for hanging out with us. Coming up at 5 a.m., we've got Max and Orion with the morning show. We've been, you know, worrying for the last hour about the new health care bill and what's going to happen, how we're going to survive, and what's it doing to us. It might not matter one bit, Roger Badish. Might not matter at all.
Why not?
Well, Rog, I don't know if you're aware, but there's been a lot of activity in Yellowstone.
A lot of bears.
296 earthquakes in the vicinity of the Yellowstone supervolcano within the last 7 days.
Wait a minute, did you say supervolcano?
Apparently, under Yellowstone Park, there is a supervolcano. Now, this is from a story on Facebook that was posted by our own engineer, Aubrey Mumpower. He shared this, and I saw it in my newsfeed, and I looked and I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. Now, I don't know how credible whoever's writing this is. It's somebody who writes about these types of things, but it might be some sort of doomsday type person.
Oh,
because I've seen other stories that say, you know, the likelihood of the volcano going up is not that great. And I don't know how serious of a volcanic eruption it would be, according to scientists. But according to the person that wrote this, says it is possible that the Yellowstone supervolcano is gearing up for a major eruption. If you follow my work on a regular basis, then you already know that I spend a lot of time documenting how the crust of our planet is becoming increasingly unstable. Most of this shaking is taking place far away from the continental U.S., and so most Americans are not too concerned about it. But we should be concerned about it because a major seismic event could change all of our lives in a single instance. For instance, a full-blown eruption of the Yellowstone supervolcano would have the potential of being an extinction-level event. That is why it is so alarming that there have been 296 earthquakes in the vicinity of the Yellowstone supervolcano within the last 7 days. Scientists are trying to convince us that everything is going to be okay, but there are others that are not so sure. The biggest earthquake in the swarm occurred last Thursday evening. It was initially measured to be a magnitude 4.5, but it was later downgraded to a 4.4. It was the biggest quake in the region since a magnitude 4.8 earthquake struck close to Norris Geyser Basin in March 2014. This magnitude 4.4 earthquake was so powerful that people felt it as far away as Bozeman. The main quake was centered about 5.8 miles underground. The quake and aftershocks occurred just over 8 miles northeast from West Yellowstone, according to the U.S. Geological Service. But by itself, that one quake would only be a minor concern. What is troubling many of the experts is that this earthquake has been accompanied by 295 smaller ones. There is normally a rise in seismic activity before a volcano erupts. And according to theoretical physicist Michio Kaku, a long overdue eruption at Yellowstone could, quote, rip the guts out of the USA.
Ouch.
Right.
You ever have your guts ripped out?
Mm-mm. I would imagine it's not fun, though.
No.
Scientists currently believe that there's a 10% chance that a supervolcanic Category 7 eruption could take place this century, as pointed out by theoretical physicist Michio Kaku, who appeared on a segment on Fox News. The gray-haired physicist told Shepard Smith that the danger we are now facing with the caldera is that it's long overdue for an eruption, which he said could, quote, rip the guts out of the USA. He said that a pocket of lava located under the park has turned out to be twice as big as scientists originally thought. I would like to try to describe for you what a full-blown eruption of the Yellowstone supervolcano would mean for this country. Now, this is according to this guy who writes this piece that was shared on Facebook. Let's keep that in mind. Hundreds of cubic miles of ash, rock, and lava would be blasted into the atmosphere, and this would likely plunge much of the northern hemisphere into several days of complete darkness. Now, we've heard about this before. We've read these scenarios where something, you know, a big enough meteor hits the Earth.
Right.
That is an extinction-level type event, or when they say it happened for the dinosaurs. Right. So much shoots out into the atmosphere mm-hmm. that several days of darkness. And I just try to picture how insane that must be. Think about how much shoots into the air that for several days our atmosphere blocks out the sun.
Well, we've kind of seen hints of that.
We have?
When in the past, when volcanoes have erupted, and they have shot out a ton of dirt and soot where there have been warnings. They've even stopped airplane flights because there is so much in the air that
right.
they can't see where they're going. And there I remember maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we were told that the reason why the sky looks darker during the day is because of so-and-so volcano halfway around the world. The winds
really?
Blew at the right. Yes, and the sky was darker during the day. It was because of that. Not only that, but also fires. That we've had a number of forest fires, I believe, up in Canada just a couple of years ago, where the fires were raging so much, but the winds were blowing a certain direction, and the smoke from the fires, which were like hundreds of miles away from us, came over our area. So it can happen.
But what you're reporting are like minor instances where, I noticed it.
Yeah, they were not big.
And you probably didn't notice it was darker until you read that it's actually darker out because of whatever.
Well, you thought,
but
I remember looking
at this. But this is blocking out the sun, Raj.
Yeah, I know,
this
I know.
This is, I look up, like, is it about to storm? No, that's volcanic ash.
Yeah.
And which means it's coming down.
Correct.
And it's going to coat everything. That's not going to be good.
But it's already burned off. It's not like you're going to sizzle to, you know.
No, but you're going to be breathing that in. That can't
That's
be
true.
Good.
You're going to have to walk around with masks all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And goggles.
Hundreds of cubic miles of ash, rock, and lava would be blasting the atmosphere. This would plunge the northern hemisphere into several days of complete darkness. Virtually everything within 100 miles of Yellowstone would be immediately killed. 100 miles.
Look what happened at, in Washington State?
Mount St. Helens.
Yeah. Look what happened to that area.
And I know that when you look at the area now, it's still very dead around there.
Yeah.
But that wasn't 100 miles. That was probably
It was a
miles
good,
around.
Healthy, it didn't affect cities, so it wasn't 100 miles, because there would have been a lot of cities. But it basically devastated that whole area.
But a much more cruel fate would befall those that live in major cities outside of the immediate blast zone, such as Salt Lake City and Denver. Hot volcanic ash, rock, and dust would rain down on those cities literally for weeks. For weeks! In the end, it would be extremely difficult for anyone living in those communities to survive. In fact, it has been estimated that 90%, listen to this, now, again, grain of salt. It has been estimated that 90% of all people living within 600 miles of Yellowstone would be killed.
Wow.
Could you imagine something like that happening?
That's amazing.
Experts project that such an eruption would dump a layer of volcanic ash that is at least 10 feet deep up to 1,000 miles away. Now think about that. 10 feet deep. Raj, we've had blizzards that get, 3 feet deep? And that's insanity.
Yeah.
10 feet deep. So as I'm sitting here looking out on a Michigan Avenue, That means over the course of a week, enough volcanic ash would fall that I wouldn't even be able to look out the window right here.
Mm-hmm.
It would completely be covered.
Yeah. Mount St. Helens, trying to think here. It wasn't necessarily the eruption that caused the top 1,300 feet of the volcano to seemingly disappear. It was, however, the blast taking place that blew a hole in the side of the mountain and the subsequent landslides, lava flows, and mudslides that caused the extremely immense crater and the destruction of the icy cap. The reason that all of the landscape is destroyed isn't because it was burnt by slowly seeping lava. Like, that's not enough. But the pyroclastic flow that ensued after the eruption. Pyroclastic flows are fluidized, fragmented rock that can have temperatures in excess of, class, anyone want to guess?
3,000 degrees.
A little lower. 750 degrees.
Oh, okay.
Celsius.
Still hot.
Celsius.
Oh, well, then that's...
Do the conversion. And can travel
like
up to...
It's like 2,100 degrees, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty close. Can travel up to 800 kilometers per hour and spread up to 200 kilometers from the source. This is where many of the lives were lost to Mount St. Helens eruption. And they're saying this one could be bigger?
Well, I don't know how big that one was, but this sounds like a lot bigger. This guy's saying that. He says 2/3 of the U.S. would suddenly become uninhabitable. The volcanic ash would severely contaminate most of our water supplies, and growing food in the middle of the country would become next to impossible.
Wait, where is this again? Yellowstone?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm still reading this about Mount St. Helens, and this is a scientific.
Okay.
This is so weird. With the total annihilation of the landscape and area of Mount St. Helens has caused a lot of attention to be brought towards volcanoes. Even with a documentary out by the British Broadcasting Corporation that explains what would happen if Yellowstone would erupt catastrophically as it did about 2.1 million years ago.
So it's due.
It's due. Scientists have still not found a way to substantially predict a volcanic eruption in time to evacuate citizens. There's only one way to know that there's an imminent volcanic eruption, and that is through harmonic tremors because of the tectonic plates. If harmonic tremors are seen through seismic graphing, then there will be a certain eruption, but still the timing and size baffles scientists.
What is a harmonic tremor?
It has to do with small
earthquakes?
Yeah, underground, the tectonic plates moving.
So the 296 small earthquakes we've just had?
Yep, things are moving underground.
Glad I live in Chicago.
It ain't that far away.
It's not, but like what this person is saying
is
that, so everybody within 100 miles dead, everybody within 600 miles suffering terribly because of everything that's going to fall out of the sky, and then we can't farm, water supplies are contaminated, we've got suddenly the walking dead, but it's not zombies, it's because, you know, the country can't function that well. Says the rest of the planet. So that's what would happen here in the U.S. The U.S. would be pretty screwed.
Right.
Says the rest of the planet, and this would especially be true of the Northern Hemisphere, would experience what is known as a nuclear winter. An extreme period of global cooling would take place,
which would
make all those other people so happy. Told you didn't have to worry about that global warming. Volcano took care of that, didn't it? Ha!
All right, so 600 miles, you're saying? Will do what kind of damage?
Okay. 100 miles, everything dead.
Okay.
90% of all people living within 600 miles would be dead.
All right. I'm looking at a map. West Yellowstone. I'm assuming that we're talking the same Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
To Chicago, 1,195 miles.
Phew.
And...
This is why you put up with the winters here.
Hold on. I'm giving a quick glance. We're the closest major city, according to this chart. Everybody else is farther away. Houston, 1,340 miles.
Now, you said we're how many feet? How many miles away?
1,195.
So it was said that volcanic ash 10 feet deep up to 1,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'd get away with only like 6 feet of volcanic ash.
Let's see. 1,000 miles away. Whoops, hold on. Okay, where was it? Right there. 1,000 miles is...
like the Quad Cities?
Midland, Texas is 1,000 miles from Yellowstone.
If you said we're 1,100,
yeah,
then so 1,000 would be Galena,
maybe? Columbia, Missouri, maybe 1,044.
Quad Cities.
Madison, Wisconsin, 1,087. St. Louis, 1,156. Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Well, that's going to be further.
1,160.
It's past us.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the planet, especially Northern Hemisphere, gets a nuclear winter, an extreme period of global cooling would take place, and temperatures around the world would fall by up to 20 degrees. Crops would fail all over the planet, and severe famine could sweep the globe. In the end, billions could die. Yeah. So yes, this is a threat we should take very seriously. But today, most Americans think of Yellowstone as little more than a fun tourist attraction.
Yeah, except for the dummy who decided to get too close to the... the geyser.
Well, and I don't remember if it was in Yellowstone or elsewhere, but this happened just last year.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they fell in or thought they could go in like it's hot springs, but somebody went in. These are like almost 300 degrees.
Yeah.
And the person went in and they couldn't even retrieve him. They say his body disintegrated like it was in acid.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did the person die, but there was no retrieving his body. You have to make sure and stay in the marked areas. Don't think that this is cool.
Line.
It's just hot. We'll have fun.
Yeah. And then we have the opposite end with the guy diving into a 63-degree river.
I heard you during the news say that now he's in extremely critical condition at Northwestern.
Yep.
And do we know yet? Was he, because there's all sorts of
according
sorts
to the
of
police
assumptions
report,
you could make.
According to the report, it said that he wanted to go for a swim.
So I'm going to assume he was drunk. I know
probably.
That's an assumption, but...
it's an assumption.
Although it's warm outside, if you don't... I don't know.
Yeah,
you,
but still.
You think, we'll go for a swim, we'll come right back. Do we know, did he jump off a bridge or just walk in off the river?
We don't know. Just, they said, in front of the Trump Tower. That was the address.
Okay. We all make our weird choices in life. We got to take a break. We got news coming up, and then your calls are welcome as well. 312-981-7200. I wonder... you know, I know people. I actually know somebody, a good friend of mine who lives in Denver. Her husband is a bit of a survivalist. And he's got, like, stockpiles of stuff. Now, I don't know if he's preparing for seismic activity or another civil war or why. But I wonder if there's anybody out there who hears something like this. Does anybody think, you know what, maybe we should pick up an extra bottle of water at the store just to have in the house, just in case? Because, you know, if that did happen, if crops were failing and stuff, it really would become a little bit of a Walking Dead type scenario. It really would. 312-981-7200. News is next on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. 4:34 in the morning. Matt Bobala with you. 720 WGN. Roger, correction. A correction has been texted in. Somebody says it's not the rubber game of the series. It's a four-game series. So there's that. Yeah, there probably should be a Sunday version of that as well. So we'll have that coming up for you this weekend, of course. And the Hawks are making all sorts of moves. NHL draft going on. Bulls made all sorts of moves. Everything's going crazy sports-wise here in Chicago. 312-981-7200 is the number. We were talking in the last half hour about what would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano had a rather large explosion, how it would affect the U.S., and it sounds very sad and bad, and let's hope it doesn't happen. But you might want to pick up an extra gallon of water, something like that, just in case things go wrong. Ron is called in from Michigan. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Good morning, Matt. Matt, I got a possible reason why the Earth, the volcano in Yellowstone might be getting ready to blow its top.
Okay.
All the fracking that's going on around the states that surround it, or you know, even adjoin it, I'll bet you, because like Oklahoma, they never had earthquakes, but now since they've been fracking for, I think, like 20 years, it's one of the most earthquake-prone places in the world, and what the Republican-dominated legislature in Oklahoma did. They passed a law saying that nobody can sue the oil companies, even if they can prove the damage is done by the fracking of the oil fields around people's houses. So we might be fracking ourselves into oblivion, well, whatever you want to call it. I can't pronounce those words.
Oblivion?
But, yeah, thank you. But that's just a possibility. And before we find out the reason why, it'll probably blow its top. So we don't have to worry about health care anyway, right?
Well, it sounds like it would be more important than ever for some people and just not a factor at all for a lot. That's for sure. Here in Chicago, we'd, you know, I don't know if you, quite honestly, it was something like that. If it was as bad as that guy had written, you don't know whether you'd be better off living within 100 miles of Yellowstone instead of being here to suffer and watch life slowly wither away and not know if you're going to survive it, you know?
Yep, get it over with quick might be the best way.
If you're going down no matter what, I think you'd rather go quick and painlessly or just in a sudden flash versus trying to survive for a couple of years with no crops and no water and the mayhem that would ensue. Because that's the thing that would be really concerning. Would Americans come together and help each other? Or would it be one of these zombie apocalypse shows where it's every man for himself and we're doing terrible things to people that we never thought we would do?
Yeah. Well, hopefully it won't happen. And I won't be around if the worst case scenario and my family happens.
But, I hear you. Well,
thank you for that pleasant thought, Matt.
You're welcome. And Ron, I'll be back next week if the world's still here.
Thank you. Always glad to listen to you. Have a
thanks,
good day,
Ron. Matt. You have a great weekend. 312-981-7200. Is the number. And, yeah, that's what we've got going on right now is, you know, I don't know about the frack. I guess I could see their seismic activity. I wouldn't think, certainly nothing I've read, is anybody questioning the fracking as far as Yellowstone and the possibility that that's going to go belly up. So hopefully things don't happen like that. We can just all get along. You know, when we started talking about the president earlier tonight and the concern over the health care bill and what's going on, I got a lot of texts right away saying, you're bashing Trump, I'm sick of this, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. If that's what you think I'm doing and you're frustrated by it, I understand that. But there was an interesting story this week, and I don't have it in front of me, of course. Our internet's not working here, so I can't pull it up. But there's a car dealer, I think here in the Chicago area, who is now refusing to play any television news channels in their little lounge, where everybody sits and waits for service or for their salesman or whatever. No Fox, no CNN, no MSNBC. He said, until further notice, those channels will not be on while you're in the waiting room. Because he said people would get in arguments. People are sitting there, somebody wants one thing or another, or somehow they start talking, and suddenly people are fighting. And he made it sound like one time it kind of came to blows between some people in the waiting room. So he said, you know what, that's it. Now they're showing episodes of Maury Povich. This is what we've come to. We can't have enough polite political discourse that we're going to watch a news channel and then talk about the merits of this or that. We're getting angry at each other. We're fighting each other. So now you're forced to sit there and watch, for God's sakes, help you, Maury Povich show, which I believe every episode is he says he's not the father of my kid. I say he is. And they do a paternity test. I think that's all they do on that show. I'm not 100% sure that. And then they all fight and it's crazy. But I swear, I think anytime you flip by that, you'll see they're waiting for the big reveal on the paternity test. Are you the father? Aren't you? And that's what they're showing now at a dealership instead of a news show where you could get your news. We've fallen that far. 312-981-7200. Mapu Bala with you, 720 WGN. The road. Bon Jovi. Jess, we got one hard and fast rule on the show. No Bon Jovi. I hate Bon Jovi. I'm sorry. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. But nothing annoys me more than Bon Jovi on the radio. I can't. I don't know what it is. Jess, do you like Bon Jovi?
He's okay, but it's living on a prayer. So since we're talking about all these volcanoes here.
I thought that was Wanted Dead or Alive.
No.
Okay. Either way. There's a ban on Bon Jovi. Okay, so here is something different and crazy that you probably heard a little bit about. I certainly saw the headline, but hadn't read the story until now. Bill Cosby is planning a series of talks about sexual assault in the wake of his own sexual assault court case ending in a mistrial. Quote, Mr. Cosby wants to get back to work, his spokesman Andrew Wyatt said on WBRC's Good Day Alabama in Birmingham. We are now planning town halls, and we're going to be coming to this city sometime in July to talk to young people because this is bigger than Bill Cosby. Quote, this issue can affect any young person, especially young athletes of today, and they need to know what they're facing when they're hanging out and partying, when they are doing certain things that they shouldn't be doing, he continued. Quote, and it also affects married men. He says laws are changing. The statute of limitations for victims of sexual assaults are being extended. So this is why people need to be educated. Added spokeswoman Ebony Benson, quote, a brush against the shoulder, anything at this point, can be considered sexual assault, and it's a good thing to be educated about the laws. Boy, is that, talk about, let's stay as tone deaf as possible. Pretty much the court of public opinion is Bill Cosby was vile and sexually assaulted women. And now that there was a mistrial, not he was found innocent or found not guilty even, they couldn't come to a conclusion. So his court case is over. Now they're going out and he's got a female spokesperson saying anything at this point can be considered sexual assault. So now let's just shift all the blame back to the women. And there's so many statistics about how rarely women truly come forward when they're sexually assaulted, about how high the number of true sexual assaults is. And then things like this happen. And whether Cosby should be convicted or not, we could put that aside as one thing. But now they're going to come out and say, hey, you guys, you got to prepare for what could happen when these women, basically is the unfinished part of that sentence, are out causing problems. You got to be careful when you're partying, when you're doing things, so you don't get caught up in this. A brush against the shoulder, his spokeswoman says, could be considered sexual assault. It's appalling and ridiculous. On June 17th, the jury decided that it could not reach a verdict on charges that Cosby drugged and molested a woman at his home outside Philly in early 2004. Montgomery County District Attorney Kevin Steele immediately announced he would retry the case against the legendary entertainer, and Judge Stephen O'Neill said the trial would be within the next 3 or 4 months. Quote, we will evaluate and review our case. We will take a hard look at everything involved, and then we will retry it, Steele said at a news conference. He confirmed that the alleged victim, Andrea Constan, would testify again at the new trial. Quote, she's entitled to a verdict in this case, said Steele. We will press forward to try to get that done, to get justice done. Cosby was charged with 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault, all focusing on the alleged assault of Constan, 44, who was then manager of the women's basketball team at Temple University, where Cosby was a member of the Board of Trustees. The criminal complaint was filed in December 2015, just days before Pennsylvania's 12-year statute of limitations was due to expire. Constan is just one of dozens of women who have accused Cosby of giving them pills and then sexually assaulting them, but she is the only woman whose alleged assault became the focus of criminal charges. So, the Bill Cosby story just gets worse and worse and worse, unfortunately, of course. Texter from 708, I was mentioning that there's a car dealership that does not show Fox, MSNBC, or CNN anymore because it's too divisive and he doesn't like the people there to buy cars fighting with each other. Texter from 708 says, you are so right. Maury is all about You Are the Father. I happened to turn the channel and came across that. I couldn't help thinking, is he still on? Hang it up. Yeah, I would say that too. God, this is terrible, Maury. What are you doing? Hang it up. But apparently he's getting paid and he's making money for doing it. So, Jess, have you ever watched an episode of Maury Povich?
I have.
You have? You got sucked into that before?
More or less during my, early childhood.
During your early childhood you were watching that?
Well, it would just be, on the TV. I wouldn't, sit down and watch it, but when I was, 14, I thought it was funny.
That's interesting. 847 says there are only 2 things on media that cause me to stop what I'm doing and race to the remote or dial to change from. Those 2 things are Maury Povich show and the commercial If I can't change the channel before the Maury Povich show is done introducing their show topic for the day, I feel I've lost 1,000 or more brain cells. It's a little game I have. That show was what's more wasteful, and was glad to hear you mention it in your tactful manner. Thank you very much. 630 says the upcoming Cosby crusade of being all about making himself look good. I suppose the way we construe brush against the shoulder depends on whether that shoulder is bare. And 773 says, I have never seen such hatred towards a president. Why does the left have so much hatred for anyone who does not agree with them? That's so funny, because it's like they just forgot the last 8 years. I have seen this much hatred towards a president. I've seen more. It was called the last 8 years. Johnny Depp is an idiot who said things he should not have said. I don't understand. You know, Michelle Obama implored the people on the left, when they go low, we go high. And it's interesting because Bill Maher, who is as left as it gets, like lefter than left, where a lot of, I think, progressive people don't really necessarily want to be associated with Bill because of his views. He has railed on his show that the left has to kind of abandon Michelle's when they go low, we go high, because he says the problem is that's nice that you go high, but then you don't win the election. And you need to go as low as they do to win the election. That to him, it's all about, if you don't win the election, what is the point? You then suffer by whatever they're deciding instead of what you're deciding. And so we have Kathy Griffin doing stupid art that just, however you feel about a president, whoever it is, you shouldn't be doing. And there should have been more outrage, but there wasn't when Ted Nugent was saying terrible things about the president. And I think that's the difference we're having here is Kathy Griffin, relatively famous name, Johnny Depp, extremely famous name. People keep putting out on social media, where was the outrage, and then showing all the horrendous things that were out there during President Obama's administration. And there were. And if you look, you will remember and see very awful things. None of them were with a celebrity. That's the difference here. Kathy Griffin is at least famous and did something incredibly shocking and terrible. Johnny Depp saying what he said. Here's a really incredibly famous name making a, I guess you would call it a joke about an assassination attempt, which is nothing that should ever be joked about or said. He has apologized for it. Of course, that's too little too late. People should have enough brains that no matter how much you disagree with our president, you don't joke, kid, or insinuate anything about assassinations. Now, as Sean Spicer was getting all mad about this today and yelling at the press that there should be more coverage and more outrage about it, a story I read was saying that one of the guests at the White House that day was somebody who had called for Hillary to be shot for treason. So the outrage is a little flimsy. But I think we can all agree that people should stop doing anything like that, because look what we just had happen. Look at the guy that just went and shot Representative Scalise at the baseball practice that they were having. We don't need to be putting any ideas into the heads of people who might be unstable or might, you know, have terrible thoughts already running around their heads. Nobody needs that. I mean, if something happened, Johnny Depp, while he probably wouldn't be charged with anything, he'd have to carry that around for the rest of his life, that he was out there helping encourage that. Maybe that wouldn't matter to him, I don't know, but that's the type of stupidity we cannot have from anybody, no matter how you feel. And we've seen it from Ted Nugent, we've seen it from people on the right, and now we're seeing it from people on the left. And, you know, the left's supposed to be the peaceful, passive side, not doing crap like this. So it's just frustrating, because the left is having so many problems right now getting anything to go their way, and then they get in their own way by having people do, and it's not like they were being encouraged to do it, it's just stupid people saying stupid things. But it's unfortunate that you know, it's a good diversion for the right. I mean, that's the thing, is that gives them something to talk about that isn't related to anything that maybe isn't working out well for them or that the media has against them. Here's a way for them to talk about, say, hey, where's the outrage about this? And that's a legitimate question. And I think there is outrage out there, and there should be outrage out there. And to say, oh, well, President Obama went through this or went through that, I think while we can remember that, that doesn't mean that anybody should be doing this now. That crap's just got to stop. It's stupid, and it's just making the country more divisive. If it can get more divisive, then it already is. We'll check in with O.R. Max coming up in a few minutes here on 720 WGN.
Chicago's...
It's 4:56 in the morning, everybody. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the historic Tribune Tower on the Magnificent Mile. We'll be back next weekend, Saturday morning at 2 a.m. And Roger Badish will be here, and he'll be 65 years old and 1 week.
And your trusty sidekick.
Yes, my trusty sidekick, the troublemaker.
I'm going to have to wear a superhero uniform now. Because I'm your
trusty sidekick.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know what our names would be. But here to save the day, there it is, Roger.
Here to save the day,
coming up with the morning show, which is next, is our good friend Orion Samuelson, who is live in Huntley, Illinois this morning. Good morning, O.
Good morning, and it's the beginning of a beautiful first weekend of summer. Sun's brightening the eastern sky, and it's going to be a beautiful day, and... early happy birthday to Roger, who is still just a kid. I mean, he's only 65 today.
Yeah, I'm just a young whippersnapper.
Yep, you are. We have to work hard to educate people like you. We more mature people, but we work on that all the time.
Thank you, sir.
Isn't it funny, though, that you're mentioning that, you know, the first official week of summer, that we just hit summer. It seems so weird to me. You know, I always think of summer as June, and here we are mid-June, and yeah, you know, the kids are we're really starting to talk about going back to school already, even though the kids have just gotten out. And it's just like, I don't know, the day's already getting darker, yet it's first day of summer. It's just a confusing time for me. Oh.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, we would start school later in the fall. I went to a country high school with about 96 students. And before that, spent 8 years in a one-room, eighth-grade country school a mile from my house that I walked to. It was uphill both ways, and I walked to every day. And reason that we started school later in the fall was so that the kids could stay home and help with harvest.
Sure.
Putting up corn and putting up wheat and putting up oats and stuff like that, so... Things have changed a little bit with the technology we have today, and that's one of the topics we'll be talking about this morning.